I ask for peace for the church, the members of this church, and our future. I also ask that you keep our first responders safe, our politicians, and make them all Christians. Please keep us safe as we pray for the federal, state, and local governments. Thank you, Lord, for the things you do for us each and every day. And let us always know that you are in charge and leading the way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
As most of you who are members and who have been here for several years, you know that one time a year, the United Methodist Women has the charge of the service, which is today, and once a year, we recognize a lady that is a member of our United Methodist Women who has done an exceptional things during the past year. You'll find out we have a lot of them, but I would like to announce who is our Lady of the Year. Unfortunately, she is not here. And our church is a church that, to quote what Pastor Steve says, we have a lot of people who go up north for vacation in the summertime, and she won't be back until this fall. But I'm going to let you know who it is. And when she comes back at our November unit meeting, we will recognize her with a little service then. So our Lady of the Year is Lynn Muskie. Lynn is a relatively new member here, and she came with a force that we hadn't seen in a while, and it's really, really given us a little bit more adrenaline, we older ladies who get a little commonplace every now and then. And she has agreed joyously to work with our rummage sale primarily. Her first endeavor was last year. It went so well, and we all have really selfishly, I know myself, I've prayed that she will find that she really doesn't need to go up to Michigan. It's hot up there anyway in the summer. So we would love to have her here the year round, but we really appreciate her and what she has done, not only just for the United Methodist Women. She's very active within the church and a very pleasant lady. So when she does come back, go to her if you can and congratulate her and tell her what a good job she's done. Thank you. And now, we're getting to the real part of the program. We have two of our United Methodist Women ladies who are going to give us a nice history lesson. I know we all love history here. And we'll have Linda Alvarez will be speaking about the history of the United Methodist Women. And after her, we're going to have Pat Moon speak about United Methodist Women of Lake Gibson, United Methodist Church. And within that, you're going to find we're going to do a little bit of history of the United Methodist Church. So, Linda, if you will come forth.
Slowly but surely. That's all right. My challenge was to somehow condense 150 years into about 15 or 20 minutes. And that was a challenge, believe me. 150 years ago takes us back to 1869. We have, I think, a slide that shows six of the eight ladies who met in Philadelphia and they were the original founders of the Women's Foreign Missionary Society. They were inspired, and they in turn have inspired us. In the 1800s, the message about women was they were accepted to God and society only if they exhibited qualities of piety, purity, submissiveness, and domesticity. I think I failed that on a couple issues. They were to keep peace in the home and be silent in church. These pioneer women stepped out of their comfort zones. And can we have the slide of the women, please? Okay. Well, you would have seen six gray-haired ladies dressed in black, in their long dresses as they wore in those days. Our history is a little complicated because of all the mergers that have taken place in our history. The Methodist Episcopal Church, the Methodist Protestant Church, and the Methodist Episcopal Church South all merged in 1939 to form the Methodist Church. And then the EUB, which in itself was a combination of the United Brethren and Evangelical Church, they merged with the Methodist Church in 1968 to form the United Methodist Church, so that is us. And the women's societies in each of these churches organized to recruit missionaries, to raise money, to send and support them internationally. They changed the world, and in turn, they themselves were changed. Think back to what I said about how these women were supposed to behave. Well, these women had to learn leadership, how to raise money, and how to run business meetings, things that they had never been challenged to do before. And I wanted to read you a fundraising story. This is a book that I got when I went to Mission U this summer, so this is what I'm basing a lot of my information on. But there was a lady back in the 1800s named Belle Bennett, and these Methodist women were getting ready to send their first missionaries out into the world. They had no money to start with, so they had to start from scratch. Well, she went to a camp, what in those days was called a camp meeting, and she addressed the meeting at Park Hill Campgrounds, conducted by the Reverend Sam Jones. Jones was so affected by her words, he asked simply how she wanted to collect contributions. Bennett replied, "I would like every woman and girl in Southern Methodism to have a part in it. I would rather have $1 a year for 5 years from every woman in the church than to have the full amount required by one person." Bless this Reverend Jones. He placed a chair for Bennett at the edge of the platform. Bennett recalled that as she sat there, men and women came up, took off their watches and other jewelry with money and subscription notices, and she collected in her lap $3,000. That was the start of sending the first ladies to mission from the Methodist Church. These women realized that not many could go, but many could support those who could. In 1869, later that year, they sent their first two missionary ladies to India. One was named Isabella Thornton, and the other was a Dr. Clara Swain. Well, I read this name, Isabella Thornton, and I thought, that sounds familiar. How on earth would I, why would that ring a bell with me? So I got on Google, and I looked up Isabella Thornton. I found out she was born in northeastern Ohio, which is close to where I come from. But that really didn't solve my questions. So I read a little further, and I read she had a brother named James Thoburn. And that rang another bell. So I looked him up and found out that he was a Methodist minister who graduated from Allegheny College, which is where I went to college. Click. He went to India and wrote back to his sister and said, "You need to come. We need you." So she and Dr. Swain set out and went to India. She established schools for women because they were not educating the ladies or the girls in India at that time. Probably still aren't a lot. And Dr. Swain set up the first clinic for women and eventually a hospital. The culture in India at that time was such that women were not to be seen or touched by a male. The doctors, therefore, were all male, and they were not allowed to see women patients. Poor ladies, they had to depend on, you know, folk medicine and so forth until Dr. Swain went there, set up her clinics, and trained the native ladies to help each other. Well, back to my story about James Thoburn. I went and looked it up. I said, that name is still familiar. And I went back to my yearbook and found that I went to college with one of the descendants of Thoburn, Ted Thoburn. He graduated 2 years before me. So I knew a descendant of the Thoburn family. There was my connection. Through the years, the women in their efforts always met resistance from men. In some cases, that hasn't changed much. But even when they wanted to start the Women's Home Missionary Society, and that was in 1886, isn't it interesting that they did the foreign missionaries first, and then the missionaries within our own country? So what, in all this time, 150 years, what has UMW accomplished? The list is rather impressive. Our ladies were, the missionaries to China, were instrumental in ending foot binding in that country. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, either look it up or ask me, because it's a horrendous thing. So that was really a major step. We support education for children around the world. We work for voting rights for women. We work for education rights for women. We supported missionaries and deaconesses, worked for civil rights, advocated for and achieved legislation to limit child labor and for a better working conditions for women. Today, we support nearly 100 national mission institutes around the world. And two of them are right here in Florida. There is the Wesley House Community Center in Key West and the Cornerstone Ministries in Tampa that we are quite familiar with. More information, incidentally, is available on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall. One of the most important things that we have accomplished is working very hard for the ordination of women. Earlier in the church, women were allowed to testify, but they were not allowed to call it preaching. So now, Charlie and I were married by a woman minister in the United Methodist Church, so that is a big accomplishment. Where are we going from here? Well, we've come a long way, but there's still a long way to go. In 2012, Malala Yousafzai was shot by the Taliban for attending school in Pakistan. And she is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. That shows you what the mindset still is in many parts of the world, and we need to change that. There are still women and children and youth around the world who are hungry, who are not being educated, and who are enslaved in one way or another, and we're going to work to change that. We will need to try to reach as far as we can around the world. But there is one thing that United Methodist Women cannot do. We cannot take a stand against a United Methodist Church policy. So, ladies, we do have work to do, and I am going to close by reading from my women's devotional Bible. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. For it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we know that everything we do, God has prepared the way. Thank you.
Pat, you're up next.
Well, this has been a challenge. We have been looking and studying different things that we have, from a cookbook to the history of our United Methodist Women. The first thing I want to tell you about is our emblem. And I want to thank those people that have given me assistance in finding out what has happened at Lake Gibson United Church. Because I was not a member of United Methodist Women for a long time, working, and they had day circles, so I wasn't able to attend. But luckily, I got to retire, and so now I can come. The first thing I want to tell you about is the emblem of the Methodist Women. The emblem of United Methodist Women, the cross and the flame, symbolizes our organization. The cross and flame are ancient symbols of the church and appear on the United Methodist emblem. Both symbols remind us of the opportunities and obligations of discipleship. As part of our emblem, the cross and the flame remind us of our purpose of growing in our understanding of and willingness to participate in the global ministries of the church. They remind us of our heritage of women who pioneered in service for the church at home and other countries. The overall shape of the emblem is also symbolic. Fluid and free-flowing, the shape suggests change and mobility. The women who came before us were at the forefront of movements for change, always aware of the times we move from ever-changing circumstances rather than feeling overwhelmed by them. We are a 21st century movement called United Methodist Women, and we are a group of Christian women with many gifts who are unified by one spirit. We participate in God's mission in all areas of life. Now I want to tell you a little bit about Lake Gibson. And this came from many different sources, and I appreciate those people who helped me. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of the church history, just to do a little review also. In March of 1962, Mr. and Mrs. Walker, residents of Pine Lake Mobile Home Park on Highway 98 North, tired of the haphazard church services held in their park on Sunday evenings, felt the need for a more structured church service. They surveyed several churches and found College Heights Methodist Church in Lakeland interested in establishing a mission church in the Lake Gibson area. Through their efforts in conducting a survey, the dedication of the Walkers, and the interests of the local residents, the Lake Gibson Methodist Church was born. Services were held Sunday mornings in the small recreation room of the Pine Lake Mobile Home Park with supply pastors from the Methodist Conference, retired church dignitaries, youth workers, and others serving as pastors. Mrs. Lois Teske and Mrs. Lucille Doolin taught Sunday school from old Sunday school papers Mrs. Teske had accumulated while living in Fort Meade. Today, in 2019, Miss Lois Teske is still an active member in this church. At that time, the congregation was comprised of residents of the mobile home park and people from the area who were interested in having a local church instead of driving downtown. As attendance grew, the need for larger quarters was evident, and a house at 434 Hopkins Street was rented. And that's two streets over from the back of the church, Hopkins Street. The living room, sunroom, and dining room provided seating, and the house was also living quarters for an assigned pastor. In June of 1963, William Dean Whidden, fresh from seminary in Ohio, appointed the first pastor, Unfortunately, he was involved in an accident on his way here and was hospitalized for several weeks with a broken leg and other injuries. Dick Wills, a student worker at College Heights United Methodist Church, served as interim pastor. And many of you might know him. He was the son-in-law for Warren Willis, who the youth camp at Leesburg is named after. When Pastor Whidden assumed his position in July, efforts toward a fully organized church began. In October of 1963, an organizational service was held in the house on Hopkins Street with Superintendent John Rooks presiding. There were 31 charter members. This small group continued to work toward building their own church home, and in October of 1964, they held a groundbreaking ceremony on a parcel of land on Daughtry Road, the land having been given by to Lake Gibson by the Conference Builders of Churches. That's where we are today. On April 4th, 1965, the original building was dedicated as the Fellowship Hall worship area of Lake Gibson United Methodist Church. At this time, that building serves as our little bit of heaven preschool. In August of 1963, ladies from the district came to organize the ladies of the church into a unit at Lake Gibson. 14 women of Lake Gibson United Methodist Church was organized as a unit of Women's Society of Christian Service on September the 9th, 1963. When the Evangelical United Brethren Church merged with the Methodist Church in 1969, the name of the WSCS was changed to United Methodist Women. For many years, we only had one circle. A second circle was added in the 1970s. also in the 1970s, we had a member. Her name was Ruth Hamilton. She and her husband lived in Polk City. They owned a business called Hamilton Carpets, and if any of you are old-timers like me, you might remember that this shop on Highway 98, which at that time was two lanes, and there was one traffic light going down 98, if you can imagine. One morning, Ruth left her home to go to work and was hit and killed by a train. Thus, the circle was named in her honor, the Ruth Circle. In the early 1980s, another circle was added due to the growth in the church. Eventually, the Ruth Circle had a decline in its membership, and it merged with the Circle of Love and became the Ruth Circle of Love. Our membership grew in our church, and a sanctuary was built in 1982. And the consecration was on November 14th, 1982. Many years passed, and the church went through many spurts of growth and decline. But they went forth and built the Family Life Center. This building was dedicated in January 1990. Today, we have three circles: the heart-to-heart circle, the Ruth Circle of Love, and the evening circle. Heart-to-heart meets the first Monday of each month. Ruth Circle of Love meets the first Wednesday of each month in the day. And the evening circle meets the second Monday evening of each month. The unit also meets the second Monday of February, May, and November. This is when all the circles get together and enjoy speakers and also a covered dish luncheon. We also have two rummage sales a year that some of you are very familiar with, one in April and one in October. Like right now, we have a pecan sale, and both of these fundraisers are used in the things, and the money that we get from them, the proceeds go to local charities, missions. Like right now, sorry, I lost my place. each one of the circles has projects that they do. Heart to Heart helps replenish the food bank. Ruth Circle of Love makes and delivers gift bags for our shut-ins. And the Evening Circle fills and supplies the gift bags that we give to new visitors each Sunday. If any of you are interested in joining UMW, you can contact any of the leaders of the circles. We would love to have you. I hope that this might have given you a little insight into our church and how United Methodist Women has played an important role in Lake Gibson United Methodist Church. Thank you.
They did a wonderful job. I think we all are going to leave here knowing a little bit more about Lake Gibson United Methodist Church and the ladies. And we do have an open invitation to all of you ladies. A lot of you are not active members, but praise the Lord, when we have our rummage sales, you seem to all show up at the right times. And we do appreciate that. And also, even though we are women, hey, we can't get along without you guys. If it weren't for the men who come and help us move the heavy furniture we have and empty out our sheds, this couldn't happen. And we couldn't, oh, she's taking it off, but you saw how much we were able to do this past year for our missions. And we support so many missions across this area, and this is important to us because We live here. We love the people who live here. And we feel like it is our responsibility sometimes to take care of them. So I want to just give a big thank you to the men of our church for supporting us. You are the greatest. I wasn't on the program. Okay, so I think it's time for us to have our offering, and if our ushers will come forward, please, and Ruth.
Would you bow your heads, please? Lord, you have given us so much, and most times we don't realize it. And all you ask in return is our time, our service, and our tithes. So today we are giving some of this back to you. We want to bless the gift and the giver, and let these tithes be used to serve others and give you the glory. Amen.
Okay, we have a last hymn that we're going to be singing. Hymn of Promise, number 707 in your hymnal, and it will be on the screen. Please stand if you're able.
In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our root there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
Thank you.
Family, I need to say a couple words, please. I'm going to say something about United Methodist Women first, and I need to make two quick announcements. When you go to seminary, you know, they give you all these things. Here was the first class the first day, okay? We're sitting there saying, guys, need y'all to do something. When you're appointed to a church, the first thing you do is you go make friends with United Methodist Women's president, whoever it is, and don't you do a thing they don't tell you to. Did you hear me? Because if you don't, guess what? You will be gone. But that's the first words of wisdom they pretty much gave us. But two things I need to let you know. There will be no finance committee meeting tomorrow night, and admin has a very quick meeting right down here after this service. Won't take you but 3 minutes. Something you've got to do for charge conference, and we have to get it done officially so that we can fill out the paperwork. So those two things. Ms. Carroll, thank you for the wonderful program, and thank you for all you do.
You're very welcome. Ruth, would you like to dismiss us? Yes. Is Lois here today? She, I look at her as the mother of our church because Lois was one of the first people that I met when I came 21 years ago, and she has been so close. So let her know, because we need to have that kind of relationship with one another always. And Ruth, I'll let you dismiss us.
Before we dismiss, I'd just like to thank God that we have a pastor that supports us. Not only our women, but the men. And I think we should just be thankful that we have someone like that. Would you like to join hands for the benediction, please? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give thee peace. And we ask this in his name. Amen.
That is exactly the prayer I was going to offer. That is so funny. It's the priest's prayer, right?
Yeah, and yeah. They don't. So I did that one other time, I think last year. And the